Welcome to Shrink Wrapped. I'm Allison Colarossi here with Dr. David Colarossi, and we are here for another episode of Shrink Wrapped. How are you doing, Dr. Dave?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm excited. I'm waiting with bated breath for the topic of today.
The topic of today is compromise in relationships. What do you think?
I happen to feel, Allison is in charge of the topics for this podcast. And I feel a little bit like when coming up with ideas, she mostly farms her own frustration with me. And I think that's why we're discussing compromise today. Is there some truth to that?
I just feel like it, globally for the audience, understanding compromise in relationships is good.
Me too.
Great.
Okay. What did you want to say about compromise?
I was just wondering what you thought about compromise in relationships.
I think it is central to this. I mean, okay, so this, my serious answer is, I think in order for a relationship to work, I think people traditionally get into relationships because the other person or the relationship makes them feel better about themselves or about life or whatever, but it's inherently a self-interested engagement. And I think that for relationships really to work long term, you have to focus on or be more motivated to, you have to be more devoted to the relationship than you are yourself. And inherently there, you have to compromise. The relationship has to come before your own needs. That's like what a therapist would say.
Is that what David the therapist says?
As a therapist, that's what I say.
Do you embody that as a partner?
I don't know that I always embody that. I also think that you have to get your needs met, and I think that you want to be in a relationship. I don't think that a relationship is always 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's unrealistic to think that a relationship is always going to be split down the middle. And so there are times when one party has to be, or, you know, behaves in a more self-interested way with the assumption that later on the other person's going to interact in a more self-interested way. And so I think maybe as of late, there's some evidence that I've been maybe more self-interested than you have been. Mm. However, I think there's also moments where you've been self-interested.
We are having a topic where you're not.
What?
I said we are having a topic, not pointing fingers. Gosh, someone having some guilt?
No, someone's being defensive. I'm just waiting for what's coming. Go ahead.
Okay, so yes, compromise is essential. I think we agree on that in relationships. What does that look like in day to day? Like, do you compromise on values? What does that look like for? And what shouldn't you compromise on? How do you maintain yourself and also compromise?
That's a good question. I think there's a nuanced answer there. Because I think that when you think about, if you just hear compromise, and you could have one party that's like, okay, fine, I'll do whatever the other party wants. But I don't think that that is putting the relationship first. Like, to me, the relationship is a third entity. There's you, there's your partner, and then there's the relationship. And just kowtowing to your partner's every whim, you're compromising for your partner, but I don't think you're putting the relationship first, because it's going to breed resentment and frustration. And I think that that's damaging. You know, or I'm thinking about, like, I used to have clients that, you know, one partner would want to do things sexually that were outside of the relationship, and they'd want to change the relationship to fit, you know, their whatever their self-interested need is. And then you have the other party that is really dissatisfied with that. And I wouldn't want to frame that as, oh, well, you're just compromising. So I don't think you want to compromise your values, and I think you also don't want to compromise sort of the sanctity of the relationship.
Okay.
I feel like it's a very vague answer, though.
Yeah, I feel like you need a more tactical with examples.
Okay, why don't you give a tactical with examples?
What if you are really into somebody, but you guys have different religions?
Okay.
And you decide to make babies. How do you decide what religion your kids will be brought up in?
I'm having a hard time answering because I don't know the people. Like, are they they're both equally invested in their faith?
No, so I don't know the people either. But what if somebody was like, okay, here's a good example. We can use us.
Okay.
You are Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Episcopalian.
Mm-hmm.
With a sprinkle of Jew-ish. And so I feel like...
You're 50% Jewish. It's a heavy sprinkle.
But we don't practice, but I do feel strongly that I want my kids to understand that religion. And so we do a little bit to try and help them understand it.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were so Catholic you didn't want to allow that or compromise on that or want our kids to know anything about it?
Well, I think it's a hard one because this wasn't a compromise for us because it was important. The Judaism, for example, I mean, Episcopalian and Catholic is very similar, so that wasn't much of an issue. But Judaism is far different, but that's a very important thing for you, and it's not an important thing for me, and so that's easy for me to compromise. Like, doesn't go against my values. I think that it's important that our kids understand their mom and where their mom comes from and how their mom believes. Like, to me, that was a very easy... So I guess I would argue that I for the relationship, it's important that we both... I think what's valuable to you should be central to our kids' lives. And so that's an easy compromise. I'm trying to think of one that... Do you think there's a moment... Is there anything that we have struggled to compromise on?
I mean, I think you're one of the things that I compromised on by allowing you to take over was like you went through this thing where you were pushing Enzo really hard in soccer. Like, he needed to practice juggling every day. And I agree. But also, I felt like it was kind of that month period or whatever was taking over our life. Like, the intent, like, there was a lot of strife in the household. Yeah. And I was like, maybe he's just not into soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted you to stop. Yeah. But I didn't. I compromised there. Like, I didn't want the strife in the household anymore. Didn't want to fight over juggling every day.
I feel like I have to give some color commentary to this. So can I just tell a little bit of a story?
Yeah.
So the first thing is just as far as my upbringing is I was good at soccer growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge part of my identity. I was very good. And because of that, I never had any, like that was my identity and I never had any difficulty all the way through high school ever having friends. Like I did well socially, and I think largely because I was good at soccer. And so for me, I understand this is not rational, but for me, it's hard for me to imagine that a kid, I sort of don't know how a kid navigates I don't know how you navigate the social environment at school if you don't have something that you can like rely on that you're really good at.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that's a broken worldview. I understand it, but that's where I come from. And so Enzo plays soccer and he's not as into soccer as I was, or it may or may not become his thing, but right now it's not his thing. Mm-hmm. I coach his soccer team. And what really bothers me is that Enzo puts next to zero effort into soccer, outside of soccer, or even at practice. Like, he's goofing around, and I don't think he shows much diligence or resiliency. I think, and I am also, side note, I am concerned, and you and I have talked about, that he gets whatever he... I don't think he hasn't had the same... challenges that I think I did growing up. He sort of gets whatever he wants, I think, too much. And so I wanted to instill in him, so one of the things, he's 9, or, this last season he was 8, he struggles to shoot correctly. he struggles to dribble well. And so I'm like, okay, well, why don't I need to show this kid that through practice, you get better at something. And so why don't we practice for 20 minutes every day? So I feel like it's a good thing. I mean, in addition to coaching his soccer team, in addition to like normal stuff, I will give 20 minutes a day where he and I go out and play soccer together so that he can, like, I don't, it's not, you make it sound like I'm Andre Agassi's dad where I'm like, you know, duct taping paddles to his hands. You know, I just wanted him to see that, oh my gosh, if I practice, I will do better. And by the way, he did. Right?
Yes.
It took like 1 week of him shooting and juggling with me, and he scored his first goal. Like, it's, I think it's good for him to see there's a connection.
I agree.
There. All right. Well,
I agree. I just didn't like the uncomfortableness all the time.
But okay, but this was a point of, first of all, I don't know. It's, are you, do you reflect on that and go, oh, I, Allison, did not engage or share my dissenting view? Are you thinking that you were just passive throughout that?
No, I mean, I did share it, but I was, I quickly had to compromise because you weren't budging.
Yes, I was uncompromising. But I think that that's also part of how I, like, that's, yeah, that's just like, okay, so that's a good example of a worldview difference.
Also, I think where one place you don't compromise on, that we don't compromise, is I like planning and you don't like a plan.
That's because I don't,
and
I do, that is not true. That everybody that's listening, that's what she wanted to get. This whole thing is about the planning because that's the real point of friction.
But that's true. You don't compromise on that.
Hold on, but can we do one more on the kids? So yes, you compromised on the soccer, but I compromise on the workbooks.
What are the workbooks?
Our kids go to school and then they come home, and every day you have them, in addition to their homework, doing workbooks. I think that they both have graduated from college. They've done so many workbooks at home. Which I...
But what is the compromise? Are you, because you don't believe it? You've never even brought up that
we shouldn't
do it. I know,
because it's important to you, and that's how you grew up. And so I go, that's fine. But I would not... If I were solo parenting, there'd be zero workbooks.
I'm not sure that's a I think you're happy that I do it. I don't feel like you're like, that's a compromise.
I'm happy with the outcome. But that is not, that I'm definitely compromising.
Because you want them to what do what?
I'd like to just hang out when they get home.
And they can hang, Dave, the workbooks is like they want, it's like part of their chores.
Honey, I understand.
Okay.
And I compromise. I'm just saying that we have different things. You are like, man, the soccer seems really intense. And I'm like, man, the academics seem really intense. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Right? We both, that's all. That would be a compromise. That's an example of a compromise. I think it's good for you to calibrate on that every once in a while. I think in your world, you do all the compromising and I don't compromise. And I have a very different perspective on that.
Okay. Share, what is your perspective on it?
The workbooks is a good example. And this
do
next
another
one
example.
Comes up,
I don't feel like the workbooks is a good example. You brought them up here about, yourself.
Allison, what?
You brought them up here.
For you. I bring them up here. We're in the mountains right now. I bring them up here because it's important to you. I don't know why. You have to get better at capturing, like, oh, that was for me.
Okay.
Where we live is for you. What we do on the weekends is for you. Where we travel is for
where
you.
Where we live is not for
100%
me.
100%. It's
no.
For you. If I was
you
me.
You chose the house. Stop it.
If it was me, we'd be
stop
in the old
it.
House.
If it was me, we wouldn't have even ever been in that old house.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Let's talk about the one that you actually want to talk about, which is
planning.
Planning, yes.
You won't budge on this compromise. Why?
You have to tell the story. What are you talking about? Honey, we're doing a podcast. You're just staring at me. We're on a podcast. You have to share what you're talking about.
I mean, there isn't a story. It's just how, you know, like last week you were talking about how for people in your office, they need more structure. And, like, you rebel against it, but you, like, also agree that you should have more structure.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel like you have come to that conclusion in our life.
I disagree. Say what you're, you have to tell the story. What are you talking about? Can you give an example of something?
I don't have a story.
If I was listening to this in my car right now, I would be like, I wonder what the hell she's talking about. Can you say what you're talking about? What do you mean I don't plan?
Like a date.
Okay.
Okay, so like in 2023, you were like, I'm going to plan dates.
Yes.
It's important to my wife. Mm-hmm. She would like me to take the emotional energy of figuring out where to go on a date, getting a babysitter, doing something fun where we can spend together.
Yes.
And so you're unwilling to compromise in like that because you won't plan a date. Think ahead for a vacation or something.
That's an exaggeration. Okay. I did plan. And the last place I took you was a really nice sushi restaurant in Cherry Creek. And while we were driving there, instead of you going like, oh, wow, this is a really nice date that David planned, you said all you did was book this on Open Table. Well, that was your critique, was that it wasn't, because you want,
honey,
you want
honey,
me
you,
to be sweating
you,
bullets.
You need, I know you want to, like, you need to tell the story because we were doing a podcast and I said one of your goals for 2023 was to plan a date and you realized that in 2023, there was no dates.
I think there were. I just think I need to log them better. Went on a lot of dates. You just planned them.
That's the uncompromising part of you.
Okay, fine. But I planned that last one.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so fine.
Okay. So, but anyway, so I do think, like, when you shouldn't compromise, how do you know when you should and you shouldn't compromise?
I usually base it on your level of vitriol.
That's a real question to a psychologist. How should you know when you should and shouldn't compromise?
Okay, but this is not your the axe to grind for you is that you don't think I plan enough. In general, you'd like me to plan more. And I think that you view it as like a personal affront. I think that you're viewing it like there is this thing where David thinks he should never have to plan, and he's unwilling to compromise because he's got some kind of, heinous, view about planning a trip or something. I think that that's where your mind goes.
I don't think it's a heinous view. I think it's like you are a very busy person with work and also your other stuff that you do. So you don't, like, that takes other energy out for you to plan.
Yeah.
And so my problem with it isn't that it's heinous. It's that I want you to take some energy, not just towards those other things, but also to planning.
So let's give a tactical example, which was the fight we had this morning. Okay. So Allison is working in the mountains. So she has we're in a condo in the mountains because of Allison's job. So Allison leaves Thursday morning after I take the kids to school. Right? You left.
Yep.
So you went to the mountains. So after that, I was at home and I had a full day of work on Thursday. I had to edit the podcast we did or the YouTube video we did on Wednesday. And so I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning Thursday night. Then I worked a full day on Friday. Took care of stuff that was at work and outside of work, loaded the car up with the kids, all the podcast equipment, went to the store, got the food for the dogs, and I bought breakfast for the kids, and I drove up here in traffic after the kids got out of school. I got here, and I forgot to pack
milk. Hold on. Why did you drive up in traffic?
Because the kids' school gets out at 3:30.
3:15.
And my last call got out after I picked up the kids. I had to do one more call to leave because a normal work day ends at 5 p.m. So the fact that I was out of the house by 5 feels like it was a good thing. But somebody doesn't recognize that. They just think that they did. So I'm working and I drive up in traffic. I get here and you would have thought that I had done, she was like, you never plan anything. I'm like, wait a second. I feel like I've been working nonstop the last 2 days, got the kids, got them up here. I just forgot a $3 bottle of milk. And in the morning, I went to the store late or I went to the coffee. I mean, it's like this, but you see what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the problem is that you're viewing this as a, you're making like a wholesale, David does zero planning, but I don't know that's a totally
well, I think that accurate like, appraisal. It's not accurate. You're right. I think that like with a little, like we ended up because of the events that placed, we ended up leaving later than we wanted to. And then everyone was anxious. Whereas if there was like a little bit of a plan, like we didn't have to start our day feeling like the wheels had fallen off the train.
Agreed.
And but, I don't like starting my day feeling like the wheels are off the train.
But we have to calibrate the level of frustration that causes us. Because we dropped the kids off on time. It all worked out. I don't know that it was worth it. It's not worth saying that there was like the character assassination of there's never a plan. Never once have you ever planned. Ever once ever. You've never thought ahead. This is an over exaggeration.
I agree. And that is but not I an feel easy like place you, but I agree. And I feel like because there was no plan in place and the wheels fell off, you
amped. The wheels didn't fall off. There was just
you
no milk.
You amped up the anxiety level for everybody. So if we just weren't anxious about it, we wouldn't have had a morning like that.
Agreed.
Okay. So what is the compromise future forward?
Okay, I will do a better job of trying to plan everything.
Okay.
And you, when something falls through the cracks, will make an effort to have maybe a little bit larger perspective on what actually has happened versus thinking that the world is ending and you've been personally attacked.
I didn't think that until you were anxious and made everybody else anxious.
And what she's referring to is me saying, we're late, get out of the condo. You make it sound like I lit the place on fire.
It feels like that.
Okay, well, that's not what happened.
Okay.
Did you have a tip for the con? Is there a tip for the? I feel like this has turned into just an argument podcast.
What is your tip for compromise? Do you have three?
You and I have done a bad job of covering this. I do stand by what I said originally, which is I do think that when you're evaluating your decisions in your relationship, you have to think about the relationship itself as a separate entity. So you're not doing something for your partner. You're doing something for the relationship. This is good for us together. This is good for the family together. And so I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. So that should stop you from, acting in opposition to your personal values, because I think your personal values are probably in alignment with the relationship. So I think that should be the marker. So you wouldn't be thinking about it like, I'm going to sacrifice this thing just to make Allison happy. It should be, I'm sacrificing it because that's what's best for the relationship. That's the first thing. That's tip number one. Tip number two would be, step outside of yourself and have a bigger perspective on what's actually happening. Because I think that it is easy for us to get, myself included, it is easy for me to think, to myopically look at it and go, oh my God, this is all about the glass of milk. In which case it feels like a very irrational reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But if I step further out of it and I think about what globally happening and the amount of pressure it puts on the family and the anxiety that everybody experiences, that's why you're reacting the way you are. And I need to have a bigger perspective versus just thinking about what's right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's tip number two. And tip number three is to be willing to flex on things that aren't that important to you. So if there are things that you can do for your partner or rather do for the relationship that don't really move the needle for you, then they're easy wins and you should, but you know, don't turn into like the relationship accountant.
What's an example of that?
Well, like you and I have talked before about like faith, mm-hmm. right? I'm Catholic, you're Jewish and Episcopalian. And for me, it's not really that big of a, I'm Catholic, but I'm not so aligned with it that it's any sacrifice for me to, you know, to celebrate Hanukkah or have a menorah, or right, that part of your life is, it's very easy for me to bend there and make that part of our kids' lives. And so I should do it. I shouldn't walk around with a, you know, a ledger and be like, oh, well, I made this sacrifice, so she has to make this sacrifice. And that's very damaging for a relationship.
The one thing you didn't comment on, which I'd like you to comment on, is like, how do you make sure you're not losing yourself in compromise? Like, you're compromising too much. How do you?
I think that that's
lose your identity by that or whatever.
I think that that was addressed in tip two, or I intended it for it to be addressed in tip two, which is, or I don't know what tip, now I'm lost in my tips, but the tip about putting the relationship first, I think, oh no, that's tip one. Tip one, putting the relationship first. If you're valuing the relationship, then sacrificing your values or your ethics, morals, those kinds of things is damaging for the relationship. So like the example I have in my mind is when I used to do work as a therapist, I once had a couple come in and the husband in the couple wanted the wife to do things sexually outside of the relationship that she was sort of ardently opposed to. But she was bending because that's what the husband wanted. And she's making this compromise, but it definitely went against her value system. And I would view that as like, that's hurting the relationship. It's creating a fracture between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. So not just a relationship, like an individual too. Because like if you have to compromise like your own personal values to the detriment or to hold up the relationship and compromise your values to the detriment of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I was just listening to a book a podcast with Hugh Hefner's latest ex-wife. And she talks about Christy Hefner, yeah. And so she felt like she lost herself in that world, in that marriage, and like none of it was who she was.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of there's not really a good reason ever to sacrifice your values. I would view that as always being damaging to the relationship.
And to your person.
Yeah. But I'm just, the reason why I keep talking about the relationship is I think that it's an easier, I think it's an easier object to protect, or maybe a more practical object to protect, because if you think about just your values and what you want to do, then I'm worried about people thinking about it like it's a self-interested endeavor.
Yeah.
And as it relates to a compromise in a relationship, I think you want to frame it about the relationship, not you as a person. Otherwise, you can become really uncompromising because you're just thinking about whatever you want to do right now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think? Do you have any tips?
No, I liked your tips.
And how are you and I doing psychologically and emotionally after our milk-related tiff this morning?
I feel like a workout and a breakfast was good. Afterwards.
That's a good argument tip.
What?
Well, everybody always says, you know, like the one that I'm like growing up, everybody's like, you should never go to sleep on a fight, which I think is the stupidest advice of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you are in a bad, if you're tired, if you're beleaguered and you're fighting, you're going to stay up late and just say things to each other that you don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's not helpful. You should take care of whatever your kind of biological needs are so that you can argue or discuss an issue in a more stable way. And so if that means you need to sleep and then wake up and discuss it, or it means that you need to go have breakfast and take care of any maybe hypoglycemia that's going on, or if you need to burn some calories and that maybe helps you think more clearly. I think that those things are all really helpful. As long as, like my only caveat is you do have to come back and talk about it. Don't just allow the moment to pass and then you never revisit it. I think it's important that you talk through whatever the issue is.
Yeah. All right. Well,
good.
Till next time, Dr. Dave.
Love you.
Love you.